love me, yeah they love me. First love yourself. For that, and God we trust. Trust me, I don't trust myself. Your jewelry, I get it too.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is an easy way to make some cash just by making picks on your favorite players. Underdog is available in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and New York, just to name a few. Make sure to support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They'll also match your first deposit up to $100, and you get a special pick when you sign up. I'm Treasure Wilson, aka Stat Baby, along with your hosts, Mace and Cam.
Killer was good.
What's good, man? How you all right? What's the word, man?
Yeah, man. It's good to have you back. Your Zoom day's running out.
Nah, I check with Nick all the time, man. You just was on Zoom the other day. You was on Zoom yesterday. You got mad Zoom days, B. You, I think you forgot you went on tour back to back for like 20-something days. I spread my shits out a little bit. Sprinkle mine in 40 voice. Sprinkle mine a little
crazy.
Bit.
That was crazy, Killer.
If you want to, that's what I mean. Make sure you hack this thing that you lick niggas' paws or something.
Yo, you going to spread yours out? And that was crazy.
You wore a hat that said, I like to taste niggas. Yeah, you wore a hat that said, I like to taste niggas.
That may be true, but right now, what do you mean when you say you're going to spread yours out? I just no, would like to know that. What you think.
I said I spread my days. I spread my days out. I said I spread my days out. Yeah. Now you're fantasizing. That's what that's called. You're fantasizing. It's a category called fantasizing, and that's what you're doing right now. You're taking it too far. You're fantasizing at this point. But I'm fine. If this is how we start, I have no problem with that, bro. I'm with it. Pause.
I'm just making sure you better.
I ain't going nowhere. What's your shirt say? What's your shirt say, Nick? Can I come see your shirt? Just make sure he's thinking, all right, we clear. Okay? Just making sure we clear.
I'm dead. Well, we're not gonna.
Yo, real quick, Steph, before we start.
Yeah.
Yo, big shout out to my homegirl Michelle. Me and Mace's homegirl actually.
Yeah.
Michelle, she has a tournament up in Harlem called Ballin' Up in Harlem. It starts Father's Day. The winning team gets $30,000. Second and third place gets prizes. Also, it's also gonna be 12 and under and girls basketball too. All the unlimited spots are taken up right now. But, yeah, it's going to be big at Marcus Garvey Park, Ballin' Up in Harlem. Shout out to Michelle, a.k.a. Queen of Harlem. And you know it's going to go right some type of way because when she sent me who's involved, Hunk is still involved. I'm finding some way to get
I'm still getting the budget.
Yeah,
so you know I gotta do the shirts, right?
First of all,
do the uniforms.
No uniforms, nothing. Nothing like that goes through Harlem without coming through Hunk office, man.
Yeah.
So, shout out to Michelle, Queen of Harlem. Make sure y'all check a tournament out called Ballin' Up in Harlem at Marcus Garvey Park. The first game will be Father's Day, man. So big shout out to her for keep doing that thing in Harlem, man. Making us look good.
Yeah. Shout out.
Dope. Okay. So y'all know we got to start the top of the show with the women's basketball games that happened last night. The Elite Eight games went crazy. Monday was a stacked schedule. There was LSU versus Iowa, UConn versus USC. LSU lost to Iowa, as people were saying, Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark, 94-87. Just in general, what did you guys think about the game as a whole? And did you think the energy was there?
And did you think Mace called it? Stat? Did he call it?
Mace did put in text that he had Iowa.
Yeah. it was almost a given. When I looked at her win, my number 22, you know, Caitlin Clark is wearing my number. And before Cam gets involved, pause, they call her Caitlin Killer Clark. She's running with your name, Killer. So she had my number and your name. So I knew they was going to win. I'm just going to leave it right there. It's one lady said, what's her name? Carter up at ESPN. She said, it's like a virus. When she gets going, you just got to live with it. It was crazy because in the beginning, when they jumped out to the league, it was looking like it was going to be a blowout. Pause. And then they came back with great energy. Johnson started balling. And then Angel Reese was looking like she was being dominant after that first time out. And it just seemed like they just found their stride. And whenever somebody who normally get 10 get 20, you're probably going to lose. Because they have people playing at an all-time high, especially the people that were role players. They really did their job. And I think me and Killer was talking about that one day. I was like, you know, people on the team, all you got to do is stand there and hit a three. And we're going to win. That's the only thing you got to do. Hit about three threes. And she did exactly that. So I think this really, really, really is bad for LSU because Iowa wanted that get back for last year. I got more to say, but I'm, you know, let Killer talk. And then after that, I'll share the rest.
Yeah, use what I have to say to act like you got more to say. No,
no
problem.
I do got more to say.
That's what we do every day. That's what we do every day.
Just I don't have time for this.
No problem. I can just go. No problem. Use what I say.
Okay.
Use what I say. I don't need it. I don't need an assist.
Okay. I'm no longer throwing assists. I'm scoring now. Okay.
Okay. Because I don't remember nothing you're talking about. I didn't get the text to say. I didn't get the text. So
he never remembers when I'm right.
Show me the text. It should still be on group text, right?
This has been going on since we were 8 years old. You never remember when I'm right.
Just remember when I'm right. Show me the time of the text. Just show me. I didn't get the text. I would like just like to see proof unless you erase the text messages. I don't know. Why would you erase the text messages? I don't know. Maybe you erased the text messages.
So he did say it. It was at 4:20, but I just realized it's not in the it's with you sent it in the chat with Nick and me.
Oh, how convenient.
Yeah, how convenient. In case they don't win, right? That's how you see it. In case they don't win, you didn't see it.
You would have said, Cam, that wasn't for you. I was going to tell you what really was going to happen. That was something different for them.
They were acting like they was dogs. So I feel like they should have came and played like dogs. And that wasn't the case that night. I think Angel Reese played a great game, but once you start being a target, you gotta take everything that comes with that. You gotta take everything that comes with that. Once you start trash talking and doing this and all of that, when you trash talk, people don't show you sympathy when you lose. You know that. That's what else I wanted
what
to
did
share.
You said when people get 10 and 20, you usually win. What does that mean?
I mean, when a role player who normally gets 10 points per game
ends up having
21, they're probably going to win because they're playing the best game of their lives. And remember, we was talking about, I think it was, what's the dude named Edie or something like that? I was like, if he got somebody to hit two or three threes, that's all they got to do to win the game. So when you playing with star players like that, all the role player got to do is get 9 or 10 out of nowhere, 10 extra points to win a game.
Yeah, I agree with that. Everybody need to play their role there. Iowa really shocked me. The role players, that is. That's why I was asking Mason what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And he's 100% correct. The role players came out from the jump, got involved early, hit some key shots. Kaitlin Clark came out from the beginning, running and gunning. We already knew what she was coming to do, pause. But the role players, like Mace said, they really stepped up when they needed to step up. Terrible, terrible rebounding output by Iowa. they need some big people bad, some big girls down there bad, because they are terrible on the rebound. And I'm not, they might have just should have lost off offensive rebounds they let get away anyway. But the game was exciting. Mace, you called it to a T. It looked like Iowa was going to get blown out. Kim, Coach Kim called timeout.
Yeah,
and she came out. Angel Reese came out. They came out beasting on defense. Then they took the lead. And I was like, okay, this don't look good for Iowa. Then Iowa caught a little rhythm. And at halftime, we was all tied up. So I was like, whoever come out in this third quarter is going to win this game. And that's what Iowa did. I think Kaylin Clark hit four threes in the third, hit a first three in a row, three threes in a row. And you could tell the difference. You could tell who was on another plateau and who was still living off the hype from last year. And Kaylin Clark just looks like every day she wants to get better. It isn't about this game, last tournament, practice the day before yesterday. It looks like she wants to be better at 1 a.m. than she was at midnight. And that's the attitude it looks like when I see her play. Like,
At 1 a.m., yeah, she want to be better.
Yeah, than what she was at midnight. So when you see that on somebody's face, look, she could have carried on. Her father did it for her. I was waiting for all this.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the... None of it happened, but you seen her father in the crowd doing the Tony Yayo and all that. So I was happy to see all that, because before the game, Angel Reese was like, look, me and Kaylin cool, but I ain't got no friends in between the lines. When we get on the court, I'm friends with nobody. And I like that attitude. I thought that was nice. But I see after the game, when everybody was giving each other five, he tried to whisper and give Kaylin a little. And Kaylin was like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. I don't want to whisper anything. I just want to shake hands and go cut the net down. I'm cool. I'm cool on the whisper. I'm good. I got other games to play.
Yeah, go whisper in the dark.
I got something to do, man. You enjoy. But I will say is this before we move on, because I know we're probably going to go to the next game. But what I will say is this. Angel Reese did her thing, man. She really did. To me, and she did decent too, the girl,
she did her thing.
She did all right. She wasn't Scotty. She wasn't Scotty tonight, last night, pardon me. And
why wasn't she Scotty to you?
The eye test, and I didn't look at her numbers. I watched that game from beginning to end. She had some key blocks. She made some key shots as well in the first half as well. But Scotty, if Mike couldn't do it, Scotty say, I got him. Yeah. They put that poor little white girl on Kaylin Clark and get destroyed
And she went like this. When she did this, I knew they was going to lose. When somebody hit a shot on you and it's like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah. Like, they left that girl out there in the woods, man. They did her worse than Hansel and Gretel, my nigga. Like, it was no reason for her to be out there like that. She needed help. And somebody like Flan should have stepped up and said, yo, nah, I got her. But I get it. I get it.
That's exactly what's supposed to happen. If you Scotty and you Flo, you're supposed to say, you know what? I'm from New Orleans. I'm the one to shut all this down.
Yeah, and I didn't see that. And what happens is this, is two things. You like, I'm not getting embarrassed out here, which is one thing where I got an attitude like that all the time, because, you know, I took pride in my defense. If a nigga caught me slipping, pause, and he caught me, I get shook. Secondly, that's one thing, getting embarrassed. Two is to get embarrassed by a white girl.
Exactly. Is worse. You was talking about that earlier in the season. You bet not let that white girl come out here. It's just nothing you can say in the neighborhood. It's nothing you can go back to the hood and say.
Right. I seen them people from the hood, people parents in there with their hands on their hips. The LSU parents just looking in disbelief. I seen the afros flying, the hair not done. I knew parents was in there. I'm not saying they was fly parents, but I knew. I seen them purple shirts and their hands on their hips like this. I know.
Got that little girl running around here going crazy.
Yeah, because you know when you get home, maybe we should just call Caitlin Clark to finish cooking up shit here tonight. Because she's been cooking all damn week. And you should just do the dishes. Maybe that's what we should just call to finish cooking. Because I'm hungry. You got to deal with that shit in the black household, man. So I didn't like the eye test. I don't know if her number said different. I know she had a couple key shots, couple blocks. But it wasn't the rapper Flage. It wasn't the sidekick, the Angel Reese.
Yeah.
It was, okay, I'm going to get a couple moments in the Elite Eight that could get me to the Final Four. And it just wasn't cutting it.
She had 23, though. Look, she did have 23.
My bad. Like I said, I'm not knocking the numbers. I stopped going off the eye test. I didn't know how much she had.
And for those that are watching, the eye test says you could have 30 points, but if how it looks is what we're going off. Because you can have 10 points in a blowout, right? Pause at the end, and those 10 don't count. And then you had another group of points over here, which was pretty much give me baskets, but really didn't affect the game.
Thanks for breaking that down, too, Mace. Because I say that a lot, and people may not. I've never actually gave an explanation on what that really means. So thank you for interpreting that entire audience so they understand. Let me ask you a question real quick. How much did Angel Reese have?
She had 17.
17 and 20 rebounds.
20 rebounds. And yeah, she was looking like she was rebounding. So that's what I'm saying, Mace. And I know the rebounds count, but Caitlin Clark had more than them combined.
Yeah. That's the problem.
That's what I'm saying. That's the problem. Yeah. That's what I'm saying when I say the eye test.
Yeah.
When I say the eye test, I seen the rebounds, and I knew she had, I think she had like 12, 13 in the first half. But I seen the second half when our third quarter started. I didn't see anybody on that court that wanted to compete with her. So even though it didn't seem like Flage, even though it seemed like, okay, it looks up. She got a steal. She got a block. She got some points. It's not equivalent to what Caitlin Clark is doing on the eye test. On the eye test. Then you go to the box score, and we're not diminishing what rebounds, assists, or steals, or any of that means. But if we're going off points, and Angel Reese is this all-star, and Flage is this up-and-coming all-star, and she got more than them combined and an Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. This is the difference between all-stars and superstars.
Yeah.
On the biggest stage possible, against the biggest competition possible. They give the biggest output possible with the least amount of talent probably on any team in the NCAA. And no disrespect to our teammates, but, you know, it is what it is. She just head and shoulders above everybody else out there.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Iowa.
Yeah, congratulations go out to Iowa, and thank you for showing up to LSU. And this goes back to the conversation we had earlier in the season when Angel Reese was not present on that team, and we was trying to figure out where were she. Is these moments when you lose, it comes back to those things that didn't allow you to have that continuity that you needed here today. And it just is almost like the guy playing on a free throw line that the coach is telling everybody to shoot free throws, and then you end up losing the game with those free throws.
I'll say that for for that game for LSU, obviously Angel Reese was the best defensive player on that team and Flage was the best offensive player. She did outscore everybody on her team. But going back to the game, I'm actually putting a lot more blame on LSU's coach because
Mulkey?
Yeah, I feel like during that game, Caitlin Clark is an amazing two-way player. She was unstoppable. She was the person that needed to be beat for LSU to win. And I think they took way too long to make adjustments to their game plan because why is, you know, Haley VanVleet trying to, you know, guard against Caitlin Clark, yeah, knowing that she was too small. She looked like she was struggling and they're flaming her on Twitter right now because she didn't look good. Like that was not, yeah, a good performance from her. And that's not the best of her. She actually is a good player. But when you see that game, it looks like she can't do nothing. Like it looked like she's not ready for a game like that. And that's not something that you need to see for an LSU team. So I feel like that should have been stopped way earlier, closer to fourth quarter than they started trying to put two people against Caitlin Clark. They should have did that way earlier in the game because trying to do that last minute, it's like, that's not going to work. Like Caitlin Clark's already on a roll. You're not stopping her from the long, yeah, range. Caitlin Clark doesn't even need to get into the paint. She can shoot from, you know, from the three way back. Like they should have been stopping her. So I felt like that came down to the coach to be like, look, we're going to do this. We're going to change this around. Yes, you know, Angel Reese is playing aggressively in the paint, which is great, but Caitlin Clark is not there.
Yeah. I could have won that game as the coach, honestly. All they needed to do was go to the classic 1-3-1 defense zone and put somebody tall at the top of that 1-3-1. So then Caitlin Clark would not be getting that set shot off against somebody that's taller because they would change that shot. Every time she would swing it and the ball would end up in the corner, the way it works, the faster person that's on the other side would drop back and then everything they were doing would be shut down. All you had to do was make it to where Caitlin Clark drives. If she drives, they don't beat you because even there was other tall young ladies on that team that could have changed the shot as well. But when you got somebody small on a 6-foot guard that is prolific,
right?
That was a recipe for disaster. If I was coaching that team, even if we was going man to man, the first person that's supposed to be guarding her from the jump is Flage.
Well, yeah, it is supposed to be Flage.
And they're supposed to be denying her the ball. Somebody's supposed to be denying her the ball. We're going to make somebody else beat us. She's not even going to touch the ball for at least 6 minutes of each quarter. And if somebody's running around just guarding her, they would have been up 18 at least.
Yeah, because at that point, it just became way too easy for Iowa. Yeah. Caitlin Clark not even at the three full.
Because if you kick the ball out of her hand, everybody else is erratic. They're running around trying to get shots. And I don't want to give the play of how to beat Iowa, but that's an easy team to beat if you understand coaching. Honestly.
I wouldn't say easy, but I get what you're saying in that aspect, yes. But Caitlin Clark is a generational talent, and that's why she is so good at what she does, because she performs well in big moments like this.
I know.
Would have been very different if LSU would have took the dub instead, but for them winning, it's like, all right, like Caitlin Clark, regardless of whether her teammates perform well or not, she does this.
She can't score without the ball.
Yes, that too. But still, like, I'm just saying that, yes, that could be fixed with coaching. They could have definitely stopped her earlier on. But with that mentality, the way that she plays, the way that she performs, her humbleness, just everything about how she performs shows that, like, regardless, and I get it, she needs the ball to score.
That's when you need a Pat Beverly type player that just stays on her, doesn't let her get the ball. That's your only job. She doesn't get the ball. And every time she get the ball, you double. And she got to kick the ball to somebody else. Right. Somebody else is going to beat us tonight.
Right.
It's not going to be Caitlin Clark.
Right.
That's the overall consensus of understanding.
It's a Deladovich.
Yeah, one of them type of names. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, definitely shout out to Iowa. Next game we got to discuss. UConn beat USC 80-73.
Hold on real quick. Sorry. What's the name? And you know, I'm pro-black. I love giving black women opportunity. I love black people. You know that. And I see why Stat won the NCAA PC award. took the onus off the black girls and put it on the white lady and said, it's not Angel Reese's fault, and Flaherty for the white coach fault.
I didn't say that specifically.
That's fucked up.
That, we that's call that up. Reverse racism no. on this show.
If you look back, a lot of things didn't make sense. And that was one of them that people aren't talking about. The coach, yes, you know, Angel Reese could have performed better. Flaherty could have performed better. But at the end of the day, it's up to Kim Mulkey to be like, this is what we're doing. Let's get it right. Because everybody would just...
I don't think there was so much... I don't think there was a lot more that Angel Reese could have done. Because she was already close to a 20-20 game.
Right.
That's what she's supposed to show up with. It was those moments. I'm telling you, it was a defensive moment. Where you take over the game. It's like we're here to win the game. Everybody knows that championship sells, offense sells tickets, but defense wins championships. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to have defense.
Yeah.
You got to have defense. And when it come down to that, it's like they gave up all of these rebounds and it was just poor defense on both teams and she just shot them out the gym. But when you got that many big bigs on the team and people with that much wingspan on the wings, they supposed to challenge all those shots. But you had the little people up front. This is that game where somebody who normally plays does not play. We're here for the win. So if you're not getting it done, you got to come out the game. I would have definitely put, I don't know who was the other big up there, but whoever was moving agile, number 12 or one of them, on top of that key. Who was that?
Mad racist stat. Yeah. That's all I'm just telling you.
I don't think so.
Racist. Yeah, you're
I
definitely
think
racist.
If you look back, you're going to be like, why didn't they change the play earlier?
She's a champion. She's a champion before she even got that LSU. She got championships before she got there.
Right. You know, well, didn't she coach Baylor? Well, one of them teams.
Yeah, won the championship. Won the chip. Yeah, you're going to throw Kim Mulkey under the bus like that or some black shit. It's cool. I'm with all that. It's cool. I dig it.
Stat.
All right, y'all. Next game. UConn beat USC 80-73. What do you guys think about the Huskies advancing to the Final Four?
That was not as surprising as the first game, even though I picked them. I mean, right now,
pick two.
Everybody knows that UConn.
Okay.
Should be in the chip in both categories, men and women. I think it's a foregone conclusion. Cam was talking about it the other day when he was talking about how they said it's Connecticut versus the Phil. So they basically think that they should be, they're playing against themselves if they don't mess up as men. And I think the women, they're not as good as the men, but the only teams that could beat them is South Carolina. I don't think there's anybody else that could beat UConn women. I don't. Now UConn will make the defensive change against Caitlin Clark. And watch and see what I tell you. They will. Gino gonna be listening to me. What's his name? Gino gonna be listening to me.
Gino Smith, you said.
Gino steak and cheese. Gino Philly cheesesteak better be listening to me. Make the difference. I'm telling you. You don't want to be sad going home. And we already know what need to happen. Killer, who you got in the women's?
I got South Carolina winning everything, but as far as this is a game I want to see. I don't have a clear cut winner on Connecticut and Iowa, because to me, Caitlin Clark is by far the best player in college basketball right now. But Gino Auriemma, the head coach of the Connecticut Huskies females team, Mace, not Gino Smith, he's going around saying he got the best player in college basketball, talking about Paige.
Yeah.
And she might have been considered the best at one time or the best prospect, but she got hurt for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And while she's been hurt, everybody's been coming around. You have the Juju Watsons, you have the Caitlin Clarks, you have the Angel Reese's, you have the Flajays, you have all these new players that's been coming of age since she's been hurt. And Gino been going around pumping since the tournament started that he has the best female college basketball player right now in the world. So he doesn't know what anybody else is talking about. And for them to get to the Final Four right now, being a great USC team, they had a great run. They're young now, plenty of time to do it. I think Juju, she had a great season, and I look forward to our sophomore year coming up. But that being said, I think that Caitlin don't like what Gino said. And I think that he really may believe it, that that girl may be close to Caitlin Clark. You know it ain't Caitlin Clark. But, you know, like Mark Jackson told us. Mark Jackson told us before, when he played with the Knicks, that Rick Pitino told him he's the best guard in the country, in the NBA. And that's a guard.
And he believed it.
And that's a team with Matt, and that's a league with Magic Johnson playing at the time, Isaiah Thomas playing at the time. You know, it was a plethora of nice point guards, but he believed what his coach told him. And Gino, I'm not saying he doesn't believe it, but he know that girl can't fuck with Caitlin. Now, she nice. She good, but I think this is going to be a goodie because it's both complexions for the connection. This is going to be pure whiteness to see who's the purest white female basketball player in America. This is white on white. This is like,
yeah, and that's, you can't racist. Get no you white. You can't say that.
Whatever, nigga. What, black on black, nigga? You can say black on black. Hold on, shit is dead ass. This is for the purest of white. This is like Brooke Shields against, you know, this is Britney Spears versus whoever's Brooke Shields and Britney. This is
Paul McCartney versus
Exactly. This is the purest of white basketball female players, and we're gonna see who's the best. And for me, I think Caitlin Clark gets offended when you say anybody's better than her, let alone another white girl. She might take that all the way out of sense. Like,
I think now y'all, I think now y'all Caitlin playing thinks games. She's black a little bit. She think, don't compare nobody white to me. Only black people.
Yes, exactly. Look, I was going 100%. That's what I was alluding to, because I heard this when Isaiah Thomas, old Isaiah Thomas, tell a story about Larry Bird, and he said the game was about to start. And Larry Bird walked up to him and was like, yo, who's, y'all being mad disrespectful, who's this white guy guarding me? So he was like, he was laughing. He's like, no, I'm serious. Like, why do y'all got a white guy guarding me? I'm dead serious. And Isaiah was laughing, and he said Larry Bird tossed him all game and disrespected him because he told him, they disrespecting you for having a white guy guard me anyway.
Yeah.
So he said, I remember Isaiah said the next year, he said, yeah, we got somebody for you now. He said, who? He said, yeah, that's my man, Dennis Rodman. And Larry Bird rolled his eyes and said, okay, I guess he's a little better than whoever homeboy was. But I really believe Caitlin Clark looks at shit like this, like,
yeah,
why would y'all ain't going to put Flajay on me, so y'all gonna let me abuse this girl right here?
Yeah.
I bet. It's like when Roy Jones' murder used to beat people up and look at the ref and say, so you're not going to stop this?
Yeah.
I bet. I'm going to start acting stupid then, since you don't want to stop the fight. And that's how I looked at it. But this is going to be, see who's the best in the country. And I won't just say, I'm using the white card and the white privilege, so to speak. But both of these girls are really, really good basketball players. Really good.
Yeah, but Caitlin is saying she's tactical. Her skill set is black. That's what she's trying to tell Paige. Paige, if you're listening to this, Caitlin is saying her skill set is black and she's tactical. So don't come out there unless you're ready for that tactical.
Yeah, but it's another game I'm interested in seeing. It's very, very, very good game that I want to see. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as like UConn versus USC, obviously, I just feel like on the floor, UConn was the better team. Now USC, you know, all eyes are on Juju Watkins, who did still play well. She's very emotional after losing, but she still is a freshman and honestly one of the, if not the best freshman guard out mm-hmm. there for women. So like shout out to them as well, but UConn, it might be it's Paige's time. So we'll see what happens for the next game. And then before we go to break, I want to talk about one more college basketball related topic. So right now there's actually genuine NFL interest in North Carolina State basketball star DJ Burns from mm-hmm. GMs, considering his role being a college men's basketball player. What do you guys think about GMs even expressing interest to him?
I heard some wild things about him because I didn't know these things about football. So they was asking killer about pause, about his behind and all of that. They was like, oh, he could be a great player in football. He got power. And this was Pat McAfee and them, and shout out to the Pat McAfee show, but they was talking about his behind and all that, saying he got a lot of force. He could be in a certain position and make like $30 million a year. I was like, yo, this is crazy. And it seemed like everybody that came on the mic, pause, they all said the same things. Like, they echoed the same sentiments that, you know, the way he's built, pause, is more for football than it is for basketball. And he might want to just leave basketball after this game and just focus on football if he's able to make the change, especially if he can make 30-something million a year and still play a professional sport. And there's a guy that did that. What team is that? I think it was it might be the Eagles. A guy that came from basketball or one of those, rugby or something. Huh? Who was it? But it was a guy that came from rugby. I know that because there's a guy that came from rugby. See?
Jordan Mailata played rugby in Australia.
Yeah, see? That's why they got the expert here, Killer. That's why I'm here. What do you think, Killer?
People that's experts don't have to keep saying they're experts. People know that they're experts. People who say they're experts aren't really experts because they have to keep reminding themselves that they're expert. So that's what I think about you keep saying you're expert. Yeah, experts, you don't have to keep saying that. People would know that already. But you're constantly saying that you're expert. So I think it's wild niggas see a man ass and be like, yo, you can make $30 million, homie. What's that about?
This is why I don't watch ESPN, but that's what they were talking about. And they kept
niggas
going.
Say, yo, damn, you see that man backside? He can make, he can make $30 million.
It seemed like they knew what they were talking about, so I, you know.
But, yo, listen, Pat McAfee used to play football, and I love his show too. I'm just saying the way you do. I didn't see it, so. And I'm not accusing you, but you delivering the message. It's like,
yeah, I didn't know how to listen. I didn't know how to listen.
Yeah, I don't. Man, yeah, me too. They said they keep looking at the man. Thighs and backside. That's a $30 million backside right there. Boys.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, listen, man. I heard about this story yesterday afternoon. I didn't really dive into it too much because, look, we know that NC State is Cinderella. They lost 14 games this year, man.
Yeah.
14 games to be in the Final Four right now, that's probably unheard of. I don't even know a team that lost probably 10 games to get to the Final Four. So first of all, congratulations to them. Secondly, if they lost 14 games, he can't be that good of a basketball player because he allowed his team to lose 14 games this year in college basketball. I think he had a great game out of the day. I don't know if he played football before. I don't know how good he is in basketball. I did see the game that he played. He bust their ass. Pause. He had a nice touchy around the basket. You know, real gentle pause around the rim. Floaters, good touch off the backboard. It looked good for the one game that I did see of him. I can't sit and say I act like I know his basketball or football background. But the people who were talking about him possibly being a football player, I would take their word because Pat McAfee not only knows a bunch of football players, he's actually played football as well. So if he says he got the whatever he said for it, I would take him at his word. I would have to do some more homework to see exactly what's up. But what I would tell homeboy is take advantage of this opportunity that you have right now playing in the Final Four and try and win while you can, because trust me, once you lose, nobody knows you no more and they don't care. They do not care once you lose. So I would take advantage of the opportunity that's before you right now and ride that out, pause as long as you can. And if you're at least a NBA or at least overseas playing in Europe possibly, or if at least an NFL tryout, ride it till the wheels fall off, homie. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm actually not even mad at that answer because he's literally 6'9 and he's 275 pounds. Like, if people are looking at him, like you said, take the opportunity, because that's a big dude. He could be a good offensive tackle, linebacker, something like that. He can run, so
exactly.
Some team, I promise you, needs him. Okay, so we're going to go to break.
Yo, Murder.
Yeah.
Murder is a nigga I know, man. I don't know if you know Bear. From Drew Hamilton, about 7 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian McKinney one time was uptown with the nigga Hud. No, Brian McKinney used to play football and shit. And he asked Hud who he was, and he's like, yo. Because he's standing in front of the projects all day. He used to, my nigga Bill, this is my nigga too.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, that nigga right there is 7 feet, about 280, 290. Tell him, if he come play for the practice team, he'll make $300,000 a year just on the practice team. nigga Bear said, fuck, I look like running around tackling niggas all day. Fuck out of here. and stood right there on the corner, ain't going nowhere. Some niggas don't want to be tackling niggas all day, I guess. I don't know. I'm just giving an example of niggas' size who say, fuck, you look like running around tackling niggas all day, but standing in front of projects at the same time. You got to love Harlem niggas.
Yeah,
Harlem
7 feet. That's why niggas. I start laughing. I know something stupid was said.
Fuck, I look around, look like tackling niggas all day. Mind you, this nigga, I go up to the project apartment, which ain't nothing wrong with the project apartment, but when you 7 feet, that shit type small.
Okay. So we're going to go.
Just reminded me of that.
No, you're good. That's a great story to share. We're going to go to break, and when we return, we will discuss a Chiefs player who might be in some trouble. Don't go anywhere.
She called this thing about toxic. 4 years and counting. Got you feeling like an option. Maybe I'm my own problem, babe. She's tired of hearing, I don't know. My stubborn in me won't fall. Oh. Dealing with this thing called trust. But she really thinking about
she
us.
Wanna be free.
Why am I in this one?
Welcome back. Now let's get into our Underdog Fantasy picks of the day. Tonight, the Bucks will play the Wizards. Underdog Fantasy has Giannis at 7.5 first quarter points. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
7.5 points.
First quarter.
Giannis?
Yes.
Against who?
The Wizards.
Of course, 7 points. He should have higher.
Okay. Cam?
No, lower.
Okay. Chris Middleton is at 29.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
You should be higher.
Yeah, higher. Who's gonna stop Giannis on the Wizards? Nobody. He could have 15 if he won.
Right. Okay, and then
I don't think it's about him not being able to get it. Oh. Just one of them games you try and get everybody involved. It's the Wizards. I ain't saying he couldn't have it. You're right, he got 20 in the first quarter, but it's one of them, yo, get Lopez going.
Okay. And Jordan Poole is at 5.5 first quarter points. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
The Jordan I used to know would have 5 points, more than five.
Used to know.
The Jordan today, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, even though there's no benefit of doubting. Higher.
Cam?
I'm going to go low. We don't even know if that nigga going to start tonight. The coach be throwing him in the start lineup sometime. Be in the start lineup. So I'm going low. Who knows if he may not even play in the first quarter.
Okay. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and you can make your picks too. So before we even get into the topics, I know we started a discussion speaking of not giving everybody the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
Angel Reese.
You was mad. We was talking off air. Let's just give it to the people for us how we was talking. Stat, you was off air. Me and Mace had a couple things to chime in just on our opinion.
Yeah.
We know that you usually save this for check out the stat at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fridays on the Come and Talk to Me network. We get that. But why were you upset for Angel Reese? You were saying?
So first I want to preface, I wasn't upset because people are going to take that and be like, she's being so sensitive. Da, da, da. Well, guys, it's a discussion. Just so y'all know,
what is
preface, like the disclaimer.
Okay.
But preface is my terminology.
All right.
Basically, we were talking about Angel Reese, some quote saying that, I don't know the exact quote.
She says she's human.
She said she's human. And I basically said that she is. I basically feel like Angel Reese gets a lot of unnecessary hate because I just feel like she's doing her thing. She's playing basketball. I know that people have unnecessary comments, and I know that she's now a public figure. She's more than just a person. She's more than just a basketball player. But I feel like she's valid to be upset and not want people to, you know, make the comments that they make towards her because she's just trying to play ball.
Yeah.
But you guys said,
I said, she received the fame. She received the accolades. And now she's learning to accept what else comes with it, because it all comes together. So if you want to turn away from the responsibilities and the expectations, then you would have to also turn back over the accolades, because that's what comes with the accolades.
Mm-hmm.
When people pay you a lot of money, whether it's in the WNBA or whether they pay her in the through NIL deals, they're expecting something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just what comes with it. So a lot of times when people are celebrated, they're excited and they receive it all.
Right.
When the criticism and the expectation comes, they want out of that. That's that accountability we keep talking about.
Right.
So it's like, it's heavy, but you're getting paid heavy.
Right.
That's what comes with the heavy pay, a heavy crown.
Yeah. And then I think real quick before you give your point, Kim, I was basically saying that I feel like in Angel Reese's... No, guys,
because you got a lot to say.
Yeah.
Guys, say it. You was puffing up at during the commercial break. Yeah.
No, I'm trying to remember exactly what I said. Basically, I was saying that... like,
people are not... You were saying people can't handle all of that.
Yes. I was basically saying Angel Reese didn't sign up for this. I don't think everybody is built for this lifestyle. I don't think everybody can handle it. And I think in her... I don't want to use the term breaking point because I don't think that's the word. But I just think that a lot of it towards her is unnecessary. And I'm not going to say I completely understand because I'm not an athlete. So, you know, criticism is thrown in different ways. Yeah. But it's just like... when you're just doing, you know, something that you love to do and then it's just always unnecessary comment after unnecessary comment, I'm just like, dang, like, she's trying to play ball. Because I just feel like other people really don't get that same sort of, you know, commentary reactions that she does
and
get.
And you know why she gets it? That goes back to the accountability.
Yeah.
Because once you don't get to be a trash talker and get mm-hmm. sympathy. Mm-hmm. You would know that if you're from the hood. You don't get to be a trash talker and get sympathy when you lose.
Right.
That's what comes with the trash talking. When you're winning, you're on the good side of the trash talking, right?
Right.
So when you lose, you want everybody to be pious.
Right.
And deities.
But also, even when she was winning, like, and I know people are going to hate regardless.
It was still, you're
classless.
What's this?
You're classless. And it's
what's
like, if you lit, you lit. Like, and then when you lose, like, okay, you, like, I'm going to be mad too, but it's just still unnecessary
things.
I like that.
When you're lit, you're lit. So you don't get to unlit yourself. That's what Cam was saying.
Yeah.
You don't get to unlit yourself once you become a public figure and you're everywhere. This is what Cam was saying. I don't want to take his words. Cam, you sure?
No, we got the same mind. You never really taking my words because half the time we finish each other's sentences anyway. What I was saying was that it's no off button. When you can't turn it off when you want to turn off fame or notoriety or being a public figure or whatever it is, you can't be like, all right, enough today. I don't feel like it. You know, and that's why sometimes people are prisoners of their own success. And I wouldn't let that be me. Like me personally, I love and I thank God all the time for where my level of success is and where I'm at. And I wouldn't want to change my success for anything in the world because I still go out and people want my picture, autograph, everything. But I know still certain places in the world I know I could go where I could just creep, would be cool, where I don't want to be bothered. It's certain mm-hmm. places certain people can't go where they're just, and not saying they're a prisoner, but they just never going to avoid it. Like, me and Mace was talking and I was late. I actually missed that show 2 weeks ago when I was on a, 3 weeks ago, I was on a flight with Mike Tyson. You don't know annoying somebody till you're next to Mike Tyson. Mike, do this, Mike. Make a muscle, Mike. Give me one of these. Mike. I'm like, God damn, yo, this is kind of wild. It's nowhere to go if you're Mike Tyson where somebody doesn't know you. But you know what? Mike smiled every picture. He hugged every lady. He made the muscle when they asked him to make a muscle. Because he knows that's part of the game. Look, when I say this all the time, is that seriously what I say? Yeah, for real. Because what I say all the time is this: whenever and this real spill, whenever I get say, "Damn, I don't want to take this picture. I don't feel like talking to these people," or "Fuck this, I don't feel like it." Unless I'm eating or I'm in a movie theater, I'll take the picture, I'll sign the autograph, I hug the lady or whatever. Because I could be sitting in traffic for an hour and a half to go work for somebody that I know I'm smarter than for 8 hours and then go back home in the same hour and a half traffic to only go to sleep to do that again the next day.
Yeah.
When you know you're smarter than the nigga that you work for. So if I just got to take a picture and hug somebody and give somebody a five, bet.
Yeah.
Because it could be way, 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 way worse, man. It's nothing worse than working for somebody you know you're smarter than and you got to act like they're smarter than you. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like that shit is probably the most annoying shit in the world. I wouldn't know. It's like one of my worst nightmares in the world. Like wake up out of cold sweat, like, oh shit, I thought I was working for somebody. And it's scary. Yeah. But at the end of the day, serious, it's like, dead ass. So no, that's why I said thank God. Like, no, that's why I said thank God, Joe. Like I know I joke a lot, but I'm dead ass serious. I really thank God. Because think about this, like think about another person, like think about Eminem. Where can he go? Like, yo, I don't want that. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you got the complexion for the connection, that white people and black niggas know you. Yo, that's Eminem. That's Eminem. Yo, my nigga. And listen, some people are built for that. Some people are. I'm not saying he isn't. It's just that I would like a cap on my shit. You know what I'm saying? To where sometimes you wish you could turn off, but at the same time, you just can't.
Yeah,
so
you can.
I know I was all over the place when it comes to my situation and scenario. So I would never trade my shit in, but I understand some people where you'd be like, yo, it's too much. They're harassing this, that, and the third. And Mace made a great point. The shit talkers, they can't wait. They can't wait for you to lose.
Right.
Floyd Mayweather, you know, he doesn't fight that often, but I'll say towards the end of his career, I would say 75 to 80% of the people that went to his fight was going to see him lose. Just to see him lose. Because he talked so much shit and he was undefeated.
Yeah, and he was money.
They can't wait to
May
see
him. Weather.
Yeah, May
money.
Weather. Yeah,
May
money. May weather. Weather. Yeah. So niggas like, I'm sick of this nigga. I'm going to see this nigga lose. And he knew it. That people would come see him lose, but he knew how to market himself and knew how to sell the fight and knew how to maximize the dollar. So to Mason's point, I get what you're saying too, Stat. You're like, fuck, B, she just came to play basketball. And you can, and you know who does that? Or used to? It's Beast Mode. I'm only here so I don't get fucked. I'm only here for that one. He ain't with a bunch of shit talking. He scored a touchdown in the end zone. He walk over and shake your hand like a businessman. It ain't no celebration. They run up to him more excited. You calm down. It's business. But once you go over the top, they're going to treat you over the top.
Yeah,
right.
So it's just no. My last phrase is this. My man Bang, cousin Bang told me this, man. And it was a time, because he's really cool with Kanye. And it was a time years and years ago, before whatever Kanye's going through now, he was going through some other shit. And I was like, damn, man, they kind of bugging. He looked over at me, Murder, and he said, Cam, the game don't come with instructions, and walked off. So you're right about that. This shit do not come with no instructions, man. Everybody got to figure their own shit out as it goes along, because your success is not necessarily my success, or your success that is not Nick's success, and Nick's success is not his home. Everybody got to figure their own shit out. It's no instructions with this shit.
Right.
Everybody's game is different.
Right. And you really can't complain about it, because I know I used to be like that. Like, it's exactly what Reese was saying, but it's like, once you took the success and the money came, you got to deal with all of these things that came with it, because I ain't signed up for that neither, but you did. You just didn't know you signed up for it.
And a lot of things happen that you don't realize, because like you said, there is no on and off button. And I really love when we have these conversations, because like, even for me, right? Like, I've entered a space that I've never entered before and never even thought I would be entering, came straight out of college. And like, for me, it's a blessing just to even be able to hear things from both of you, because like, I don't think you guys understand the magnitude of being able to have you two both in my corner, me not knowing what the hell I'm doing, right? Yeah. Moving cross country to a whole new position. You feel me? Like, and at least being like, if I have a sort of question I can ask y'all, you know, like I still like always try to figure things out myself and we'll do things like that. And there is no guidebook. And for Angel Reese, I don't know her position, but I promise you, she doesn't have a guide. Like, nobody teaches you how to like enter fame and be a basketball player and be a college student. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like all at the same time. So I'm not saying like, she deserves some sort of sympathy, but I can definitely understand her position of probably being lost and not knowing, you know, what to do with that. Because you, a lot of people, you can't ask questions to. You know what I'm saying? So
that
means
we got to do more. That means we got to do more counseling, because that's like Cam, me, anybody. Like when we walk out, people don't even ask me, can they take pictures? They just walk up to me with video.
Yeah.
I don't get to fix my hat.
Yeah.
I don't get to fix myself.
Right.
It's already live.
Right.
And you like, yo, bro, I used to get mad about that. Like, yo, don't do that.
Right.
Because in my mind, I'm thinking I'm in the hood, but I'm not in the hood. They're seeing Mace. They're like, yo, smile, nigga. Do what you normally do on TV. Do that
I ain't no puppet. What? What?
Yeah, listen.
Crazy.
I used to be like that too, but you gotta realize, you know, with sometimes, and I can't tell anybody how to be who they are as a celebrity. Yeah. I'm talking about Mace or Stat. Sometimes you gotta put yourself, and we've been doing this so long, that we forget that we were the person to be excited if we see somebody. Because we've been on forever. So sometimes you got to rewind to that 17-year-old kid who's seen, oh, shit, Russell Simmons, this is my shot. Oh, shit, Jermaine Dupri, I'm on his ball. Whatever. Sometimes a nigga may be 35 when they meet you. This is the only time they got to see you. You know what I'm saying? But it was a time when niggas get excited when they see niggas. We just been doing this so long that it's really like, yo, when you see another celebrity, you say what's up unless y'all got some conversation because you giving them.
Yeah, you don't want to be like the person that ruins somebody's moment when they just met you.
Yeah.
And they had this whole big idea of who you were. And you mess it all up.
No, I definitely get that. And it's funny because that's the world that I'm entering, right? So like for me, I still get excited. Like when I meet certain people, I'm not going to disclose who. And obviously I play it cool. And even on the other end, like when people get excited to see me, I'm like, oh. Like people coming up taking pictures with me, I'm like, oh, because for me, my world is like work, you know what I'm saying? You. Like, and I it doesn't click. Like, it's like in Angel Reese's perspective, I just showed up to play basketball. And me, I'm like, I'm just doing my job. Like, I'm talking about sports, doing something that I love to do. And then I'm like, oh, people actually, you know, it's two different worlds that sometimes it doesn't connect.
Yeah.
And I feel and like for her, it might have not connected.
And what I'm saying is when she started taking the NIL deals, you're not just playing ball.
which is a great point.
That's the part that they're leaving out. Oh, I ain't signed up for this. Yes, you did. When you signed that NIL deal and they start offering you the money as a brand, you became responsible for all of the things you don't want to deal with right now. And that's why, like I said, we got to start doing more help with people. And, and we're here. And we joke and play a lot, but ask Cam, DM me, anybody. We're here to help the next generation.
That's seriously an amazing point. I'm very happy you said that because I think you don't even understand. A lot of us be lost. And I know a lot of people need help and don't know where to start. And I'm not saying that you guys are just going to, here's how you do this. Here's how you do this. But like some, even just like watching the show, like these are gems that people can take and like internalize in different ways. Cam, I know you had a point.
Let me tell you something. Yeah, last thing. Let me tell you something about Angel Reese, right? And you saying she dealing with a lot. And this is and this would be my last point when it comes to this. She waited till she lost to do this. Osami, the tennis player, Osami, what's her name?
Naomi Osaka.
Naomi Osaka left when she was winning for mental health issues because she didn't know how to do it. She left when she was winning. What's the black gymnastic girl's name? Bussin' ass? She quit, shorty.
Simone?
Black girl.
Bates.
Simone Biles.
She left. She left too. Mental shit. It's too much. It's too much to deal with, and I get that. But they didn't wait till they lost to be like, it's too much. They lost. They left when they won.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Angel Reese is about to leave. But it just seems like a pity party when you wait to break. And I'm, and don't get me wrong, people. I know what Angel Reese is going through. But you know, when we us shit talkers, we kind of be like, "Yo, come on, suck it up," because we got a heart too. don't get it wrong. But when you do it right after you lose, people kind of tend to be like, "Come on, you just lost." When Naomi, the tennis player, left, and the girl Simone Biles. They both took mental health breaks from their sport when they were at the height of their sport, number one. So when I see that, I'm like, nah, this shit is overbearing. This is overbearing. Like Mace left when he number one rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like when niggas leave when they number one, you can't really say nothing.
Yeah, that means it was really paused too much for them.
Yeah,
it was really too much. If that girl... The tennis player just won, I don't remember if it's Wimbledon, U.S. Open, but then it was U.S. Open. Other girl just won the gold medals. Niggas was like, yo, I'm chilling out. I'm bugging. I'm going through something. I don't want to use the word bugging because they was really going through something. No disrespect. They was really going through something. But they left at the height of their shit. They didn't wait till the game was over. It was like,
yeah,
I ain't win this shit, blah, blah, blah. So, I'm not disagreeing with your point with Angel Reese or feeling bad. I'm not saying I don't feel empathy for Angel Reese. I'm just saying it just comes at bad timing.
Yeah.
Right after you lose a game.
Yeah.
When you're a shit talker.
And what I was thinking about was, if you want to know if what Cam and I just shared was the truth, just ask yourself, if they won this game, what dance would they have been doing? And you could start seeing what they would have been doing. What songs would they have been playing? Back to back. Yeah.
You want
to
run your mouth.
Yeah.
Niggas, you know they would have been going crazy, right?
Niggas
skipping, doing the Ja Morant.
Yeah, the gritty. Niggas fucked the playlist up. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Niggas fucked the playlist up, man.
Yeah.
They would have definitely been playing back to back.
Yeah. Well, these are great points. I can't even disagree because I know how it looks. So I'm like, yeah, but I like that we can have these discussions. And I hope you guys are really
what's the dance they taking be doing when through they be... these.
I don't.
Yeah. Mm. All that whole.
You'll be on TikTok, huh?
They'd have been going crazy, right?
We talk about.
They would have been going crazy.
That's crazy.
Monkey would have even been hitting one of those dances. That's why you can't really show no pity to that.
I'm dead. Well, this is a great conversation, but unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you all for watching. And as always, it is what it is.
Super Max, like when they doing them 2 for 5.